Hello, welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch. Welcome to the Friday the 13th show, where we're not going to talk about Friday the 13th at all. But trust me, my favorite is Friday the 13th. I love all of them, even Jason X. And I'm just kidding. I really hate that movie. No, hate is such a strong word. I just don't care for it. So welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about some really fun movies tonight. And you guys, you know what? I'm breaking new ground tonight. I'm bringing on a guest we've never talked to before. You know, we don't know anything about him here at the podcast of Happy Horror Time. Let's bring out Matt Emmert.
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, welcome.
I know. It's like, it's just always feels like the first time here, Tim, you know? And now this is the, seventh? I think every podcast I say, hey, is this the, and then I forget the number.
I want to say it's the seventh.
Right? I think it is. Wow.
Wow.
It has been
Matt,
quite a
thanks
ride.
Thanks for talking to me.
You know what? Thank you, Tim, for inviting me into your world.
How's it going in your world?
My world is great. It's now April 10th, almost April 13th. Right. It's a new year. It's spring. It's just everything is just amazing.
Yeah. And today was like 80 degrees.
Yeah. I know for all of our listeners all over the country.
Right. I don't care about
Los
them.
We're in Los Angeles.
Los Angelians.
Yeah. And so if it's cold where you are right now, that sucks because It's beautiful in LA.
It really is. Flowers are blooming.
Yeah. It's spring and everyone is, I was going to try to rhyme spring with mingle, but I realized now that only works with
spring,
single.
Mingle.
Like I'm single and ready to mingle, but springle and No, not going to work. Not going to work. Anyway, thanks for having me on this, Tim, especially on the Friday the 13th one where we're not going to talk about anything related to Friday the 13th.
No, but if you want to check out some Friday 13th stuff, you can check out the other podcast where I interview Kevin Spiritus. He talks to us. And then if you want to go online and watch some YouTube videos, I interview Melanie Kinneman from Friday 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, Russell Todd from Friday 13th Part 2, Peter Brackey, who wrote the amazing book Crystal Lake Memories. And I feel like there's someone else.
That was it. And Kevin Spiritus, who was from Friday the 13th Part 7, A New Blood.
1988, 30th anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is the 30th anniversary. Oh, my God.
Feel old? Do you feel old?
No, because I wasn't even born when that came out.
Oh, Tim.
But speaking of born and birthdays, we have a birthday coming up.
April 19th.
April 19th is our own Tim Murdoch's birthday. And Tim is turning the bright young age of
49. Matt just aged me. Oh, wow.
No, Tim is only 41, and he doesn't look a day over 48.
Matt, you're too kind. I hope that check clears.
So, Tim, what is your birthday wish this year?
If I tell you, it won't come true.
I was gonna say, if I tell you, I'll have to kill you. I'm like, oh.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be appropriate for this podcast.
Come on.
But
so,
you know what?
Well, Tim is having a very nice West Hollywood birthday. We're going to be doing dinner with some friends and then going to a party. But the location is not going to be
everyone
disclosed.
Everyone crash.
Well, because I don't want people to crash your party. I
only want
there may be
happy
people,
horror time
there may be,
podcast
there may be
listeners.
People sitting outside waiting for autographs. So
you know what? I can deal.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It won't happen.
don't sell yourself short, Tim.
Well,
there's fans.
I'm selling myself.
But it's going to be a great birthday to celebrate Tim's first official year into the 40s.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Because 40 isn't in your 40s. 40 is 40.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, lordy, lordy. Look who's 40.
Oh, God. Okay, let's move on to movies.
Okay, yes.
Move on to movies.
Let's jump right in. So what do you want to start with? Okay, let's start with Unsane.
Yeah, so a beauty of a movie that came out a few weeks ago called Unsane, directed by Steven Soderbergh, starring, what is her name from The Crown? Oh, damn it.
Well, that's all. People know who she is.
Marsha Cross from The Crown. Yeah.
Right. No. Okay. I saw it in Burbank, and you know what? I've got friends in the Valley, and they're very supportive of my.
So what you're saying is, I've got friends in low places.
I was going to sing the song from. I was going to say, ex girlfriend. Do you ever watch the show?
I actually don't, and
what's
I feel
the title?
Really.
I'm pronouncing it wrong.
My crazy ex-girlfriend.
Okay, my crazy ex-girlfriend. There is a song on the show that's like, I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends. Okay, well, anyway, It's a song close to my heart.
Oh, wait, how did we get there? Oh, because okay, I asked why you went to Burbank.
So,
okay,
yeah, I went to Burbank.
Tell us about the movie.
Okay, so did you know this? It was filmed on an iPhone?
I didn't know that, but I mean, the quality looked like that. I mean, like a nice iPhone.
I didn't mind it because it made it feel like there were some steaks and everything was like...
some steaks.
There were some steaks there were some and chickens. I was hungry. no, but I mean, like it raised the stakes for me because it seemed like we were getting like raw footage of someone. Here's mm-hmm. the setup. This girl's like, I'm kind of bummed out because she had a stalker and she's just kind of going for a quick... I don't want to say evaluation. It's like a quick, like just to talk to someone.
Yeah, like to a therapist.
Yeah, a therapist. And so they like kind of put her in the sane asylum.
Well, they sort of like trick her into right. signing herself into voluntary, I was about to say confinement, but it's not confinement, so that she is basically stuck in this institution. And she is saying like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not crazy. And like for the first... I don't know, like half of the movie, you don't know, is she actually crazy and maybe the institution put her in on purpose because they saw a problem, or did they trick her into it? And keep going.
No, so like, you know, with all the stuff going on with our healthcare, you know, like, so it was like a business kind of decision to get her in there. Like, oh, well, she signed the form. We're going to keep her in here.
Yeah,
like,
she finds out because there's one person in the institution that tells her that he's seen people get checked in against their will because they're using it to get insurance companies to pay for people as right. long as they will. So and then they release
them. Reporter, right?
Exactly.
And he's an SNL.
Well, you just spoiled it. Just kidding.
Oh, wait. Let me just start. And by telling everyone, we're going to spoil everything.
Everything. So every plot detail, the endings.
Just suck it up and listen.
Yeah, exactly. It'll still be good, but okay.
Yeah. So I want to say his name's Jay Farrow.
I mean, you should, because is his name.
Okay, because I did absolutely no research. It's my podcast, and if I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do what I want.
He was on Saturday Night Live up until, I think, last season.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I think he was one of the better actors, and then he left and did Unsane.
Yeah, which is a good, I mean, Steven Soderbergh. Soderbergh.
Soderbergh. Huh.
He's a with great the silent H. director, right? Like, everyone loves him.
Everyone.
And I mean everyone.
Yeah. So Claire something is her name. It just came
Claire
to me.
Claire Foy.
That's her. I love how wow. 3 minutes later.
You know what? I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's what's happening. I don't know what your excuse is.
Okay. Wait. I know, because I am not as old as Tim. I am at the nice ripe age of 20.
Oof, someone's a 20. Liar.
20. That's something. It. Just what was I going to say? Oh, so, but so partway through... When you're thinking, is this something, you know, is she crazy or is the insurance company scamming her? She starts to see this stalker that she had working there. And of course, like the viewer is watching thinking, okay, she's got to be crazy. How would her stalker end up working there?
They show the stalker in a way like, is she seeing it? Like it's kind of like flashes something or like, so you're questioning it. And then I think she calls her mom, who's a famous actress from the
Carrie 2, The Rage. Carrie 2, Amy Irving.
Yes.
Also in Yentl.
Yes, and she was married to Steven Spielberg.
Yes, Amy Irving, who plays her mom. Because then, yeah, she calls her mom to say, like, I'm stuck in this, which wouldn't that have been, like, the first phone call you made? Didn't you thought it was weird? She waited, two days.
But then that's when the movie, for me, turned, because the mom rushed right there. She would, like, trying to help her get out. Like, she at no time was the mom like, oh, yeah, she's crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's what I was thinking. Because as the viewer, when you first see this, you don't quite know. And I was thinking, okay, is she crazy? But when the mom came down, I was like, no, we're going to get her out of it and recognize it was a scam. But then did you notice that probably like a third the way through the movie, it kind of took a turn from focusing on whether she's crazy or the insurance company, or whether she's crazy or the institution is like scamming her, to then just focusing completely on the stalker, which I thought was the better plot point anyway.
Right. And by the way, the stalker is played by one of the actors that was in the original Blair Witch Project.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know which one, because
it's got to be Josh.
Two guys. It must be Josh.
Josh, because I remember what he. Now I. Oh my God!
Someone told me, and then it made sense.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Now I get it. Glasses, yeah. A beard, and that's him.
So he was a very creepy stalker, and I actually felt genuinely sorry for her that she couldn't have other relationships, or she tried to have relationships, and.
Yeah, she. But she was also a little abrasive of a character. But anyway, then it switches to. to the point where you're still wondering, like, is she crazy? Because how is a stalker there? But then he kills, here, spoiler alert, but whatever, we already said that.
Right.
He basically sees the undercover J. Farrow reporter with her and kidnaps him and kills him. And then you're like, oh shit.
Like, her stalker really is really there. Did get a job
and,
at that.
And you find that they found, so the stalker is pretending, because you're probably thinking, how the fuck did he get a job in there? But he killed one of the workers and took over his identity, which, by the way, I gotta say, stellar institution there, that zero of, like, the co-workers noticed that the guy was different.
Oh, see, that's what, okay, that's when the movie for me got really uneasy, because, like, I'm sure people, like, I don't know what the hiring process is, but that one seems shady.
Well, exactly. Even if, like, I was talking with friends after I saw it, and I was like, how did he sneak in with that guy's identity? And they're like, oh, he must have just been hired. Great. But zero people that interviewed him were around
no
when he started.
No background checks.
Zero people. But even background checks would have passed. He just killed the actual guy and took his name tag. But what I'm saying is, no one saw him in the interview process. And was like, oh, that's not the
As
same guy.
As a person who has a history of identity theft, stuff like that really scares me. Like, what if I was taken to a mental hospital and no one let me out?
Yeah, well, but you also wouldn't be the stalker who would, unless someone killed you to take over your position somewhere.
True.
And then take your identity. But
no,
anyway, so
job.
Then it gets kind of dark, because you finally realize that the stalker is real. She's not crazy. Like, the stalker goes after her mom because the mom is trying to get her out of the institution. And obviously, the stalker needs to keep her there because he wants to be around her all the time. And then it's like, goes crazy. And it's definitely like, you know, there's no more like guessing, is she crazy or not? She's not.
And then it's
He's
like
a stalker.
A fight for her life.
Yes. And he, and it's some crazy shit. And he, like, kidnaps her and things like that. But it's, I thought it was really good. But the weird.
Oh. There was one thing to interrupt you.
Oh, the padded room.
Oh, no, that scene was really good, too. But I was talking about the cameo of a huge star.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a
I was like, don't take me out of it.
It was, I guess, because he's friends with Steven Soderbergh.
But I mean, can he be friends with somebody else? Let me just say this. I think Matt Damon's a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. But it took me out of the movie. I was like, I'm not that familiar with The Crown, so...
Yeah.
This actress was just really
no
good.
It was so like unnecessary.
Me
but
too.
I'm
I
sure
like,
it was
oh.
just like, hey, it'll be a little Easter egg for fans, but people seeing this movie didn't need to see
no.
Matt Damon. You're right.
I was like, get him off the screen.
It was just a dumb small part. But so we're getting toward the end, and I guess my thoughts were, I did like it. It was very different than anything I saw. The only thing I didn't like was I didn't like the kind of confusing the two plot lines of the... So anyway, at the end, you find out that this institution was scamming people and admitting them against their will to make money through insurance.
Which is
and
a scary plot
it
line.
Is a scary... That's terrifying.
Like the stalker aspect, yes, that's
like
terrifying.
Like tricking people into committing themselves.
But yeah, like
but
just being in the hospital
is scary. And again, maybe you'll disagree with me, but... The cluttering of that plot line with the stalker to me took a little bit away from the stalker. Like, I guess part of me felt like, did you need both of those plot? You definitely need the stalker plot line, but I guess I didn't need as much of the, it took away from the stalker. I would have just wanted her in the institution, I guess, but then the question would be, how would
she
have gotten
some,
in the institution?
I mean, like, yeah, it was kind of an institution. It was a hospital, but the reporter from Saturday Night Live, J. Farrow, he also had a phone. No one took away his phone. Did he charge it?
Well, he was
like,
hiding it, remember? How did he charge it?
No one called him out on that?
No, it's just, I think that's the only thing for me. Like I said, the first third of the movie.
Yeah, and not only that, to interrupt you even more, but they put all guys and girls in the same hospital room?
Yeah, it was really weird. Well, the first third of the movie, like I said, is the struggle between she's being admitted against her will, or maybe she isn't because she's crazy. Then, and she's mentioned the stalker, but then the stalker comes into play, and the rest of the movie's about the stalker. And at the very end, you find out, like, the person who's running the institution gets arrested because they're doing so. I guess for me, just the muddling of those two plot lines together took me a little bit out of the stalker plot, but that's the only thing I didn't like about it. Otherwise, I thought it was acted well. I thought it was shot well. I thought it was
on an iPhone.
Yeah, like, I thought it was really creative. That was the only thing. It was like the muddling of those two plot lines, but maybe that's just me.
No,
maybe I'm just insane.
Matt, I can assure you, you are insane.
Look, Tim. Hey, just sign here.
It is
scary that one signature can put you away.
I know.
Look, hey, Tim, I'm going to need your... Yeah. So, but so what did you all in all think?
I loved that it was filmed on an iPhone. I liked the lead girl. She was awesome. I didn't mind the two storylines conflicting a little bit. I will say it switched over from, like, are we guessing, is she or isn't she insane?
I know, too. Oh, God, there's a stalker
then,
there.
Then when the stalker storyline really picked up speed and, like, he was like, I'm obsessed. That wasn't breaking any new ground. I mean, like, I've seen movies like that before.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't mind the intertwining.
I guess, no, I see your point. It's like, if it was just a stalker movie, you might as well just, like, put it on Lifetime today,
right,
I
right.
guess.
Right, absolutely.
You're right. So, I guess, and you're, and again,
Matt,
as I was...
Matt. I'm always right. I'm wiser.
Yes. Well, but no, I guess you're right, because also I'm trying to think of, okay, pretend, how would she have gotten into the institution if it wasn't that trickery and that kind of stuff? So I guess it needed it. I'm just saying, like, my initial reaction was, okay, it's going in this direction. Nope. On to the stalker. Okay, we're going to the stalker. Okay, back to the mental
institution. Well, I mean, like, I don't know how you watched the movie, but once I learned it was
I was sitting and I watched
it. In a movie theater with popcorn?
It was crazy. Really different way.
You know, I will say this. I saw it with my friend Luke, and then, but on the other side of me, okay, there was a pretty empty theater. It was like during the day. On the other side of me was like a really just random handsome guy. He could have sat anywhere, but he sat right next to me. So, you know what?
Birthday wish is coming true.
It was weird because, like, I just was like, there's nowhere else to sit. Like,
maybe he was scared and wanted to be near people.
Or maybe he grabbed my hand and I go, sir, I'm trying to watch him.
And you said, sir, put your hand here instead. And you put it on your head. And he rubbed your head.
No, I had stitches that day.
Oh, yeah, you did. So, Tim...
I had stitches. No one needs to hear this dumbass story.
Wait, what did you do to your head?
I have 4 stitches on my head because I had something removed. Gross. We're not talking about
God, I couldn't even remember. I thought you
it's
hit
so
your
boring.
Head or something.
No,
let's change the story.
I have hit
you could have totally
before.
Made that up and I would have believed it.
Well, I'm not going to lie to my friends.
You're not going to lie.
But I've also had staples in my head, too. I cut my head and I had 3 staples.
Oh, my God.
I have a lot of head trauma. Wow. I'm insane.
You're insane.
Insane.
With that, I think we should move on to the second movie.
Let's done with that.
And I'm going to say the second movie's name in a really loud voice because it's called A Quiet Place.
You know what? I liked it.
Oh, you just jumped. Okay, Tim, just jump right in. No. We got it. So A Quiet Place just came out. And if you haven't seen the ads for A Quiet Place, then you're living under a rock, because it's been, like, advertised everywhere with John Krasinski, Emily Blunt. And just to give the quick background, it's apparently it's like days after there was some sort of alien invasion, which they don't explain too much, which I like. There's some alien species that
relies on sound.
They rely on sound because they're blind, so that the world, this post-apocalyptic world that people are living in, you have to live in silence. Like, so everything, they have to do sign language. They can't ruffle anything. They have to walk on soft sand. They can't ruffle anything. Ruffle. They're a family that's trying to live in this world.
So the movie starts off with them. Well, first off, the theater was packed.
We saw it not just opening night. We saw it like the night before opening night. So it's like when you go to the after Thanksgiving sale on Thanksgiving. So it's not even after Thanksgiving.
It's people that wanted to be there.
Yeah. No, these are people that
we'll see a movie now.
No, these are counting down the days till the movie like we were.
So it was packed. And I will say, I'm really proud of not only the audience, but our friends that are kind of loud. But they were all, everyone was very into the movie, and the movie started, and it's a very quiet movie. So if there was like popcorn or like people like trying to shut back that ice, like, you know, like when there's no more drink left, like, you know, when people do that, like,
when like the last suck through a straw, it's like,
yeah, like everyone was really respectful. There was none of that. Did you hear any of that?
I mean, I think I was so focused. Just so you know, this entire movie, it's only 90 minutes, which I guess for a horror movie isn't that short, but it's only 90 minutes. But you're literally in suspense the entire time. I mean, imagine holding your breath for 90 minutes. 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Imagine holding your breath for 90 minutes, because the entire movie, like, there's no let up. It starts, they're right into it. And as Tim was saying, because they're living in a world of silence, you're, other than a very like soft score that's sometimes heard and weird things. Yeah. it is very silent, and it just, it's like gripping the whole movie, and it's incredibly intense.
I'm going to stop you.
No, you disagree?
No. I wasn't like, I could handle it.
Really? I mean, well, yeah, but like, you're also, you have a horror podcast.
That's true. I do. I mean, like, I was like, oh, this is good. But I mean, like, I thought it was more of a thriller. I didn't think I wasn't scared at all.
Well, it wasn't like, I mean, look, it was relied mostly on jump scares, considering anything that made sound movie would scare you. But I thought they built the tension really well.
You know, and you know, here's the thing. I really cared for everyone in this movie because they were all dealing with the grief of, spoiler alert, the grief of the little kid, their son.
The opening scene, it's the John Krasinski and Emily Blunt have three kids, and the youngest just doesn't understand that he needs to be quiet, and so he like turns a loud toy on, and literally as soon as like any sort of loud sound
gone.
Like this thing just comes up and like rips him apart.
Yeah, which you don't see that
off
screen, but like just like all like the mother grieving, the father grieving, and the girl that thinks she, like, there's that whole storyline with the whole family dealing with the loss.
Well, yeah,
the
well, one thing is, not only are obviously John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are very talented actors, but the two kids they got were very, very good actors. The young or the teenage girl is actually a deaf actress.
I read that.
And she plays a deaf girl, which puts like an entirely new element into this, because imagine living in a world where you can't make sound when you can't hear sound. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know if you're making sound. So it puts this other level on it. And then the young kid, the young boy also, they just were really, really great actors.
Yeah, like, and like, usually I hate child actors. I really
do. You just hate children.
I don't, get them away from me. No, but they both were so lovable, and you were rooting that they weren't going to.
And they all did so well, like the expressions and everything on there. Like, and just to spoil another thing, Emily Blunt, like, so they flash
She
after
looks
the
so
young
good,
kid.
By the way. Her hair looks great.
Okay. No, I was gonna.
I was like,
she's pregnant and literally has to give birth in silence with one of the creatures, like, in the other room lurking around. I mean, yeah, I was about to say, for any of you that have given birth,
that,
like, I know.
Before that, she gets a nail in her foot.
Oh, because a nail is on one of the stairs and she steps on it. So imagine stepping on a nail and not being able to scream or cry.
I will say that was like the biggest audience reaction, right?
Oh, ever, because you see, you know, there's a nail there and she steps right on it and she can't scream and can't wince and can't do anything. But then she has to give birth with, remember, no drugs. So this is post-apocalyptic.
And no sound.
And no, she can't scream. She can't anything. Like, it is just, and that's an incredibly intense scene. But the whole movie, I mean, I thought it was really, really, really intense. And I thought it was incredibly well done, incredibly well acted, like all around. Just
let's
great.
Let's talk about John Krasinski's body.
Oh, it's not really see it.
Well, you can't see it, but like, he's really bulked up. Like, I was like,
he did look a little lumberjacky.
I did not mind. I mean,
he's a great looking guy.
He didn't look like
he's definitely
he
not
office.
The same like kind of dorky cute guy from The Office. He was like a big like patriarch.
I wonder
in this
if
movie.
He was like, hey, can I take off my shirt?
Well, considering he wrote and directed it, I'm sure he would have if he wanted to.
Like, he must have had like five personal trainers.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. John Krasinski, it's his first, it's his directorial debut.
Good job, bravo.
I mean, yeah, like to write this. And the thing is, though, I don't want to take away from what he wrote because the idea is great, but I guess it's not like the script it was so much because it's relying mostly on the acting and the expressions and everything like that. But it's the idea was great. Like, we were talking about how did someone not come up with, I mean, there's been a million alien invasion movies, but you know, it's always
the way, if I do have to criticize the movie a little bit, I was not that impressed with the actual aliens.
See, I was just going to say that I have to disagree because not that I was impressed by them, but usually whenever you're seeing any movie that has a creature, whether it's like Jeepers Creepers and like the creeper or just like aliens or something, once you see the full creature, it's not lurking around. It's like, it looks cheesy. It's either too CGI'd, it's too fake or whatever. This was definitely very CGI, but it wasn't
okay
cartoonish. I was okay with it. Was I like impressed? No, but it didn't. I was like worried when they finally showed like the full creature that it was going to be so over the top that I wouldn't even buy it. But like, I bought it. It was a lot of CGI. But
the question is, did you buy the 1990 film It with the spider at the end.
Oh God, that was awful. Like that claymation spider. Oh, that's when that movie lost me. Yeah. But well,
I'm joking, obviously.
Yeah. But I feel like when I was trying to tell someone about this, I feel like this movie was like Cloverfield, but much, much better.
Yeah,
because Cloverfield was nice, cool, but like this, I just thought it was just really good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a movie I'd want to see again in the theater.
It's kind of, I mean, that's another thing. Definitely a movie to see on the big screen because, I don't know, like, well, first off,
and sit next to teenagers who have their phone out the whole time.
No, but it's like, if you're at home and hanging with friends and not in silence, it don't have the same effect. Like, you have to watch this movie in silence because then every loud noise has an incredible impact. And then, you got to see it inside. But like, I just thought it was also PG-13, which I usually hate, but it still seemed pretty intense for PG-13.
Oh, can I have a confession?
Confess.
Just this year, I cry at the drop of a hat, and I don't know why I'm so reluctant to talk about spoilers, but when John
Krasinski,
whatever, when he was saving his children,
oh yeah,
and like he gave the sign language for "I love you," I had like two soap opera Brooke Forrester tears, Brooke Logan, coming down my face. Did you have one tear?
Did you just say coming on your face?
Did I say coming down my face?
You said coming down. You said coming down.
Coming down my cheeks.
I usually cry at movies very easily. Like I cried at Love, Simon.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I do. Well, because we see horror movies together.
Oh,
I don't usually cry at horror movies.
I guess I didn't
cry at this movie. I mean, that was a poignant part, but I guess there was so much going on that I didn't have enough time.
Like, I couldn't even control it. Like when he was saying "I love you" to his daughter, because he was like, confirming.
Basically sacrifices himself to save his kids.
Well, he was also confirming to her like
that he's always loved her. Yeah,
right. Because she thought. He didn't because
she thought he blamed her for the young kid's
death. Correct. So when all that was being thrown at me as the viewer,
you're like, because that time that you killed your younger sibling.
Yes.
You know? No, because she gave the toy, which made the noise, back to the little kid,
right,
thinking he would keep it quiet.
So all
and
this
didn't.
Information that you know, and like he's confirming for the daughter.
You know.
And so us as the viewer, I was like, that's very sad. And also, I couldn't control it. It was like...
It was a poignant part. I mean, just because I didn't cry and you're a pussy doesn't mean...
just kidding.
No. It was a poignant part. I mean, like, and also it's a testament to the performances. Like, they all were done really well. Like, again, kid acting that was done incredibly well.
Right.
Obviously, Emily Blunt is very talented. And John Krasinski, I haven't really seen in many serious roles.
Do you know a movie he's in that I love? And
what?
I'm recommending it to everyone. It's not a horror movie, but I think everyone should check it out. It's called Something Borrowed.
Yes. But he's just like the friend.
It doesn't matter.
I know that, but I mean, I don't feel like he didn't like shine in that movie.
Well, that's true.
I like the movie. I definitely like the movie,
I mean,
but it's not like his performance
stealer.
Oh, do you remember John Krasinski in Something Borrowed?
No, it's all about Goldie Hawn's daughter and
Kate Hudson. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jennifer Goodwin.
Jennifer Goodwin. I was about to call her Ginny.
I love that movie.
You know, and isn't she on like, That show with all the super,
a
fantasy
show
characters.
I will never watch.
Isn't it? It's like called
Something.
A
Once
fantasy
upon
land?
A time.
Once upon a time, Fantasyland.
Once upon a crap.
Once upon a crap. Have you ever watched it? Do you know it sucks? I mean, I'm sure it does, but
So anyway, A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place. Great, and it got 100 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and I think it made like 50 million its opening weekend.
Yeah, for like a horror, and it's classified as horror.
For Paramount, home of Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but it was great. I mean, if we were matching the two that we just talked about up against each other, I would definitely like A Quiet Place better. I mean, they're very different, obviously, and they're both good, but A Quiet Place was great.
I will say A Quiet Place did not keep me guessing. I had a feeling it would have a good ending.
Good-ish.
It's good. I mean, it could have been happier, but but I think Unsane kept me guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what you're looking for. Like, obviously,
I'm looking for porn.
It's like, do you want a whodunit, like, slasher movie or a slasher with a masked killer? It's all preference.
All right, should we move on to our last movie?
Yes,
oh, wait,
we should.
Let's do a real quick one, like 2 minutes. Okay, we saw Firestarter.
I love how you said that. Like, it was like this. Have you heard of this new movie?
It's from 1984.
No, yeah, it was, there was a screening
Terror Tuesday.
At what theater?
Los Feliz?
I mean, but it was in Los Feliz, but what was it?
It's a 3-screen theater. It was called Terror Tuesday. But we still, and yeah. Matt called it Fireplace.
I called it Fireplace. We're seeing Fireplace. Well, I hadn't, well, both of us hadn't seen it in years. I mean, I hadn't seen it since I was a little kid.
Same here.
And Tim hadn't seen it since he was a little kid. So like 1954. Okay, yeah. So, no, so I love how I'm like, Megan. By the way, I'm only 3 years younger than Tim, but I still love giving him shit.
I embrace my oldness because you know what?
I am 38.
Everyone gets old.
It's I'm 3 years behind you. Oh yes, we did. And yeah, we should, I don't want to go into like a full review of it, but let's just say, you go.
Here's my one quickie. I enjoyed being in Las Vegas and I enjoyed the popcorn, but, and I enjoyed Drew Barrymore's performance. But the movie's effing long.
I'm just going to say it does not hold up. I thought like I'm going to be just completely honest. I came into it thinking that I remembered liking it as a kid, and I was all excited. I was like, yeah, I remember this movie and I really liked it. And I was bored. It was just not good.
Ending, the last 5 minutes were good.
I mean, yeah, she's throwing fireballs. Like, it was just like, it just dragged on. It wasn't, it was just no. It just does not hold up. I just, they either need to remake it or just put the nail in the car. I don't know. I just, and I feel bad because I'm sure there's some diehard like Firestarter fans out there.
I would love
maybe
to meet them.
I know. No, but I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Just no.
Well,
no.
I mean, they got Charlie Sheen's dad, Martin Sheen, the president, and they got George C. Scott and Drew Barrymore.
And Heather Locklear. Yeah. And I mean, Heather Locklear has two scenes.
Yeah.
Like she has maybe two lines total. Mm. And Drew Barrymore's good. I mean, as good as
an eight-year-old
Drew Barrymore. Yeah. It's really hard to say Drew Barrymore was good in that after seeing the kids in A Quiet Place who like, compared
night
to her was
day.
Like night and day.
I mean,
yeah.
There was a couple times that she was like, kind of looking at the camera.
Dad,
like, is that camera?
Dad, help. You need to help me.
Yeah, but it was a different time, 1994.
It was, but it's just like, yeah. And I guess, again, like, maybe it's because we've seen some good movies lately, but like, yeah, like, I was just, both Tim and I couldn't wait for it to be over. Remember?
There was a point where I was like, I actually looked at my watch.
I was most shocked because I thought I had liked it. There's nothing better than going to a movie thinking, yeah, from your childhood, I remember loving this movie and being like, either what the fuck was I thinking?
And the director was there.
Yes, the director was there.
He was. I don't think he was proud of it. I don't think he liked it.
Did you get the feeling
like,
he? I don't. Yeah,
here
I
it is.
Like, it was. It was like I really, truly didn't get. It's not like he was like, this is a great movie. He was just like, hey, I'll answer your questions.
Yeah, like let's roll this piece of shit.
Yeah, it was just not good. But you know what? That's better because that balances out. We got some really good
ones. This is what I'm gonna say. I loved it for nostalgic purposes, and I had fun with you eating popcorn.
I didn't even love it for nostalgic purposes. I now question my entire childhood.
Wow.
But I did enjoy eating popcorn.
Yeah.
That was good. And it's cheaper at that theater.
Yeah,
so
I will
fun.
Be going back.
Exactly. For hopefully a better movie.
Okay. So let's wrap it up with the best movie. Oh, I'm going to say it was the best movie I've seen.
It's the best movie I've seen in a long time. Yeah. And let me just paint the picture of how I discovered this. Tim and I often will get together and just randomly like watch horror movies from Netflix or like Prime or
Shutter.
Amazon Prime Amazon Prime movies or like Vudu. What does that serve? Whatever. We just search for like movies we haven't seen, whether they're old, new, whatever. So it was like the first movie that came up on Prime or Amazon Prime recommended horror movies. And it was called Hell House LLC. And I just looked at the plot and it was like, you know, like a disaster happens at a haunted house.
Was LLC part of the title?
It was. Yeah. I just looked.
Okay.
I know. It was weird.
I like everything but LLC.
Yeah, I know. I guess because it's a business. Whatever. But and I looked at the plot and it's like, you know, a group of people putting on a haunted house does like an opening for Halloween, opening night disaster. Well, anyone who knows me, like the second you say Halloween, I'm in. Anything related to Halloween when it's a horror movie, I'm in.
And Matt also does like a theme party. It's kind of like a haunted house, but I mean,
we both love Halloween House, but I love it and I have all the stuff that I use for my own Halloween party. So I'm like, we got to see this. And it said it was like a found footage type thing. And you know,
and
I'm like, okay,
like,
whatever.
Oh, that means cheap.
Exactly. So I put it on and I could tell Tim wasn't that like,
well, there was no trailer.
Well, Tim, I think you were expecting it to just be like, ugh, found footage.
Because Matt and I have seen some shit.
Well, definitely seen some shit.
There was one that we watched here called Boo. And Boo sucked. I mean, I'm not even talking about
that one with Heather Langenkamp?
No, that one was good.
With Donna Boone?
No, that was the Truth or Dare.
Oh, the other Truth or Dare. Oh, yeah. Oh, the what was Oh, she played Donna Boone.
Yeah, Donna Boone. About Boo. No, I'm talking about a movie, and it's not Madea Tyler Perry's Boo. It was just called Boo. Matt fell asleep in 5 minutes. I stayed up for 20 minutes, but it was such a pile of
poo. Oh, we didn't even finish it, right?
No, it was garbage. Yeah. Okay. So that's what I thought.
Yes, yes. And I've seen some shit. So anyway, like it starts, and basically I kind of get the plot, but really badly. It's a group of people that put on haunted houses, find this abandoned hotel that they're going to put on a haunted house at.
They have 45 days.
Well, but it starts with the opening night, and there was some sort of disaster that happened in the haunted house that killed a lot of people, and they couldn't figure out what happened, if it was a person, if it was supernatural, what. And they're doing it documentary-ish style, and then they get into found footage of all the days leading up to what happened,
which was awesome. I like the way they started the movie. I like the way they started the interviews. I was in it.
So just to paint that, like, set the scene, it was found footage, but it was done incredibly well. I mean, found footage is supposed to be grainy or whatever, but think Paranormal Activity without being as obvious and expected. And this is why I think it was so good. Anyone who's either put on a haunted house, been to a haunted house, had a Halloween party, you know all those props are fucking scary.
Yeah.
And think about being alone in a room with all those props you see at a Halloween store,
yes,
which is scary enough because you're always looking over your shoulder thinking, are any going to move? Are they going to look at you? And now imagine bringing that to life.
Right. But here's the big twist is they had to spend the night there as they're working on it.
Yeah. So apparently these are young people that, like, they're putting all their money into the haunted house. So not only did they, like, rent out this abandoned hotel to put it together, they're also sleeping in the rooms.
Which I don't even remember. Why were they filming everything? They were just documenting.
So they were doing like a documentary because they said they helped them for future years and what works. And they also just wanted to record the experience.
And there was four male actors and one girl, and but they were also doing it like they're interviewing random people in the town, and there was also like a kind of a Gale Weathers reporter that was like, give me the scoop.
Yeah. Give me the scoop.
They were all, none of them were glossy, they weren't like actors, they were like they were all
unknowns.
They were pretty good looking, you know what I mean? They weren't glossy,
but the, like, and you're probably, I mean,
believable.
The big tragedy happens on the opening night, but leading up to, what makes it so good is, you know, they're setting up all these props and things, and first they start noticing little things, like one of the props' heads is turned the other way, and again, the props they picked, kudos, you know, to whoever the prop person is.
Just hearing us talk about it, we're like, it does creepy. Not sound scary.
It doesn't, I know, I'm not saying, like, but like a, the props they pick, like the mannequins and the dummies and things, are so fucking creepy.
I totally agree.
And like everything they're setting, and then like they'll hear little things in the middle of the night, and it's one person who's filming it, like sees like a prop standing when it was supposed to be sitting, or hears a noise when there's only props in the room, or sees, and the way they build up to it little by little is so creepy. Both Tim and I were creeped the fuck out.
I would not have been able to watch that alone in the dark. I'm actually happy you had the lights on.
Yeah, no, and little by little, and there were some scenes that were, I mean, I was, got the chills like multiple times during his, like, really freaked me out. Again, you're talking, these are two, Tim and I are big horror movie watchers that watch all sorts of horror movies, and this freaked me out big time.
I was so satisfied.
Yeah.
There was one scene where this guy is talking like, you know, this is such and such day, we're all working on the house, I'm getting a little freaked out, and like, as he's, then all of a sudden there's like, okay, oh, a spoiler. Mm. There's like, I mean, because no matter what I tell you, seeing it is totally different than hearing it.
I know.
There's like a girl sitting in the room.
And who's not a human.
And so he's like, oh God. So he throws the cover over himself and the camera. Mm. And then he peeks out. The girl's
closer.
And then he throws it over again, and then she's like right there.
And it's like, you know, she's going to be right there, but it's still, again, whoever, like, makeup, costume, props, and everything in this was great. But I think you're right. The way we're talking about it, it's like not as scary. I mean, but again, but if you could put yourself in the mindset, because this would convince me if I was a viewer of, again, imagine you're in the Spirit Halloween store alone
with the lights off.
Oh, yeah. And you know all these props are fake, but you're expecting, what if something turns? What if something turns on its own? And that's enough to scare anyone. And so what I loved about this is that it wasn't just found footage of like a supernatural, like Paranormal Activity, where ghosts are taking over a house. It's a supernatural takeover of a haunted house. So all the props, you know, are part of this too. So that's what I thought made this so unique. It was, coupling Paranormal Activity with a haunted house found footage story. And then it even had like a twist. Like at first I was like, toward the end I was like, how far are they going to keep taking this? But I actually didn't mind it. They had a little twist things.
Possession with humans is always can go a little south, but this I didn't even care.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so like, since we're spoiling it, I keep not wanting to spoil it, but whatever. Only survivor spoiled. Of the people they're working is the girl, and they're interviewing her. And then at the end, they find footage of the girl from years ago being murdered. And they're like, well, what the fuck? Like the girl.
Like, who did we that's just
a,
interview?
Who were we just talking to? It was a ghost of an apparition of this girl who's just luring them back to the house to kill them. But it's like, again, I know we're saying,
I was like, oh, that's kind of dumb. But then watching it, they pulled it off.
That's the thing. They pulled off everything that you would think would be dumb.
They totally stupid.
But the clown dummies are so scary and their faces are so scary. Yes,
I will say those three, they were like, oh, let's put these three clowns here in the basement. Just their heads turning and any scene with the clowns, I'm like, effective.
And that's the thing. Anything, and it, because it's done very well, very shadowy, very, you see a figure in the back, like you see it standing there and then it's not there. Like all the little things that you would think like everyone should master.
I don't think we even made fun of it.
No, it wasn't cheesy, except for that one girl that the Gale Weathers type was a little bit of an overactor.
She was like, she delivered one line that was totally bonkers.
What are you afraid of, a ghost?
Yeah, and Matt's not even exaggerating. That's how she delivered it.
That's how she said it. We were like,
I was like, I'm okay with it.
No, but both Tim and I were incredibly impressed. And then we like looked and we're like, how did this, because the first thing I was thinking was, if you saw this movie on the big screen, people would be, I mean, think about if you like the Paranormal Activity movies, which I like, and they scare the shit out of you mostly because they're on the big screen. The fact that this movie scared the shit out of us on a small screen with the lights on, imagine seeing a big screen in a packed like dark movie theater.
I wonder if it plays well on a big screen.
It came out, so Hell House LLC, I think it would. It came out in 2015, but it wasn't fully released on demand until I guess 2016. But it was written and directed by someone named Stephen Cognetti. And then we were looking up the like all the producers were all Cognettis. So I guess they were all like, it was a family affair, whatever. Anyway, this is a gem, one of those undiscovered gems that if you're a horror movie lover, find it on Prime or on demand. Because
was it on Netflix?
I don't think it was. No. I mean, it was on Prime. Maybe it is, but it's just like, it's one of those movies that I wish had come out on the big screen.
I wouldn't even mind. I mean, I wonder if it's on Blu-ray. I wouldn't mind seeing the extras or any behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was just done well. And again, it's like it creeped us out. If I wish I could paint a picture of how creeped out Tim and I were.
I think we were genuinely scared at least four times. Maybe five.
But the whole thing, and it's like, again, I was watching Tim at the beginning of this when I first put this on. He was like, whatever, like, you know, didn't give a shit. And then he was totally in.
I was glued. I was like, this is good.
Glued. So check it out.
And the movie's called Hell House, LLC.
Yeah. It was LLC. I know that's kind of cheesy.
I don't remember them really.
Hell House, LLC. Oh, you know what? Because Hell House.
Is there another? I'm sure there's another house.
With Linda Blair.
That's called Hell Night.
Whoops. Got my hells mixed up.
It's okay.
Night, Hell House, Hell Day,
Hellboy. Ugh. But I do like Selma Blair.
Oh, she was in Hellboy?
I think she's in Hellboy 1 and 2.
That's like, who? Like you don't call out like the main actor. You call out fucking Selma Blair.
Everyone loves Selma Blair.
No, but I mean, of all people from that, it's like, oh my God, you know who was in Iron Man? Gwyneth Paltrow. I mean, she was, Robert Downey Jr.
I like Robert Downey Jr. Oh. Have you ever seen Less Than Zero?
No.
It's life-changing.
Oh, good.
Check it out. Okay, well, I guess that we talked about everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, we are going to be seeing a new movie this Friday, Truth or Dare, which I'm excited.
Who's the lead? Lucy Hale?
Lucy Hale from Scream 4 and Tyler Posey from, I was about to say American Werewolf in London, from Teen Wolf.
Yes.
It's one of those like teenage, just like fun horror movies. I'm sure it's not going to be great, breaking like new ground, but it's going to be one of those like fun, entertaining, like it's just going to be fun. How many times can I say fun? Fun.
And something else comes out Friday 13th. Part 2 at the New Art at midnight.
It comes out.
Yeah,
it's never
been seen. 1981.
Never.
I mean, I might go if I can.
I know.
It's late. Midnight's late.
And it's after seeing Truth or Dare.
And Russell Todd, who I have already interviewed, will be there. So
I wonder if he's a listener. Or Kevin Spiritus or Melanie Kinnaman or...
I'm sure they're just like, oh, I can't wait for Matt and Tim to talk about Unsane.
Steven Soderbergh has been waiting for our review.
I know.
You know who would probably appreciate this? I'm just thinking of Doggy Loud. No, the people who worked on Hell House, just because maybe extra press. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
they're like, oh, we've got four watchers.
Hey, you know what? This could be the start of, like, how did Hell House take off? Oh, it was Happy Horror Time.
Jinx, show me a co.
Oh, that's
cocaine.
Good...
I'm into drugs.
And with that,
thank you so much for listening. Oh, and by the way, I'm not into drugs at all. Oh, happy Friday 13th.
Happy Friday 13th. Bye.